to sing with Jesus without necessarily any instruments. The image of me being there brings me to my knees in worship. So we pray, Lord, all the worship and all the things and all the stuff that we do here would bring us to our knees as we find you in this place, this Holy Sabbath, this Sunday, that we worship you. We pray, Lord, for all of us who are going through struggles with shame or rejection, whether it's from actual people or self-imposed. We pray for us who are struggling with fear. And we replace all these things with your love, because your love never fails. It's powerful, and it has overcome all the things. You've overcome the world. And here we are, standing in your presence, and some of us feel these things that aren't from you. There's guilt, shame, fear, rejection, disappointment. Lord, take them all away and replace it with your love. May we find you, and this be a place of celebration, of life, of glorifying you with who we are. Because you've made us, and you declared us very good. So help us to find you in this place. Be glorified, we ask, in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I want to call up two of my BFFs here, the one called John and Benson. They have 90 seconds to tell you, for the teens, about camp, but I want the old people to understand the zeal. These young people are going to a camp with me and a bunch of others to talk about what?
So, my name is Jonathan, and this is
Benson.
And we're longtime veterans of the camp. But if you're new, camp is a place, it's where you get to spend time with God with a bunch of your fellow teens. And it might sound a little bit boring, but trust me, once you go there, it's going to be all worth it.
So the camp theme for this year is trusting in God, and if you're one of the youths who haven't signed up yet, if you sign up before February, we give you a $15 discount. So be sure to sign up, right? Yeah. From my personal experience, I've really enjoyed every year of camp. Like at the first year I went, I thought like, okay, this is gonna be like super boring, no Wi-Fi, you know. I'm stuck here with all these church people. But like, I guess for me, like, kind of just taking a step back and like kind of pulling the plug and interacting with like people and interacting with God is what truly makes camp really awesome for me.
And that's all we have.
You know what? Just give it to Pastor Matt. Thank you, guys. It sounds like it's going to be fun. And I hope if you're a youth that you will be planning to go and participate in that. We had a great start to Alpha this past Wednesday night. We had 17 guests, 4 kids, and 17 Alpha team members present. There was such a positive spirit. The meal was fantastic. We had some very interesting discussions, and we're looking forward to our second week this Wednesday. It is not too late for you to come, or even more importantly, for you to invite somebody who doesn't yet know Christ to come and to explore faith, life, and meaning through Alpha. God is at work, and so I encourage you, it's not too late, invite someone. If you are planning to do that, it's important that you let me or Caroline, wave your hand again. Oh, there you go. Let me or Caroline know today or as soon as you find out so that we can make any adjustments we need to on the food. But invite somebody. Their life could be changed for all eternity. I also just want to announce that, or let you know, and actually I want to tell you something first. Did you know that most people who come to Christ, they find Christ before the age of 14? In fact, the stats show that over 80% of the people in the world who become Christians do so before the age of 14. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that our children's ministry is one of our most potent and one of our most important mission fields. And right now, Pastor Sham, our children's pastor, needs some additional help on Sunday. She needs some people who say, you know what? I want to invest something spiritual into the lives of our kids. Whether it's coming and helping once a month or once every couple of months. I was really thrilled this morning. I was in the washroom and Tom Chin walked in. He said, Pastor Ken, I won't be here this morning. I said, Tom, what do you mean? He said, I'm going to be with the kids. He said, I'm out helping. To shepherd them. I said, Tom, that's the best excuse for not being in this room that I've heard in a long time. So I want to encourage you to pray and ask God, God, do you want me to be a part of making spiritual investments in our kids? And if so, I want to encourage you to contact Pastor Sham. The information is there in your bulletin. Also, just so you know, Pastor Perry, Linda, and their girls are all away for a week of vacation. I just want us to pause for a minute and just to pray for him. God has given us as a church family such a gift in him and Linda and their family. And I just want to bless them. Just join me, if you would, right now in prayer. Father, we thank you for our lead pastor, Pastor Perry, here in the English ministry. Father, we thank you for his heart and his love for you and for his heart and his love for each one of us. Father, we ask today that you would bless him and his wife Linda and their girls, that they would just have a fantastic week of rest and of just enjoying being together. Would you protect them? Would you watch over them? Would you just bless them with your grace, with the awareness of your presence, and just an incredible sense of enjoyment this week? We thank you for him, and we bless him and his family in Jesus' name. Amen. The father of three children was doing his best to mediate the usual family quibbling around the dinner table. Fast losing patience, he banged his fist on the table and said sharply, "Everybody wants his own way around here. Me? I'm just a poor, miserable father. When do I get my way for once?" Whereupon, his four-year-old son tugged at his dad's sleeve and said earnestly, "Cry a little." How are you doing maintaining patience around the dinner table and elsewhere? More and more, we live in an impatient, self-centered world that is bent on instant gratification. According to a 2015 Wakefield Research Survey, though 80% of respondents rated themselves as being patient, 96% of them said they knowingly consume extremely hot food or drink that burns their mouth. 63% do so frequently. More than half said they hung up the phone after being on hold for only 1 minute. 71% admitted to frequently exceeding the speed limit to get to their destination faster. That kind of hurts. Respondents reported binge-watching an average of 7 TV episodes in a single sitting. Nearly a third of respondents, ages 18 to 24, indicated they wait less than 1 second before bypassing a slow walker. Jen Wires reported they check their phones an average of 8 times when waiting to hear back from someone they've dated. When waiting for a table at a restaurant, nearly a quarter of respondents, ages 18 to 24, wait less than 1 minute before approaching the host again after the wait period has passed. One facet of life where impatience is more and more evident is in driving. In 2016, an American Automobile Association study found that 51% of drivers admitted to purposefully tailgating. 47% said they had yelled at another driver. 45% said they honked to show annoyance or anger. 33% said they had made angry gestures. 24% said they had actually tried to block another vehicle from changing lanes. A few drivers admitted to having lost it by getting out of their vehicle to confront another driver. That's happened to me. I was on the receiving end of that. Or even purposely ramming another vehicle. Yikes. The Bible teaches that Christians should be different. Our lives should be characterized by patience. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've made him your Lord, if you made him your boss, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and one of his tasks is to form and develop and ripen patience in you. Patience is the final fruit in our current sermon series called The Power to Change. And today I want to ask you three questions about patience. Number one, how do I know if I'm patient? Number two, why should I be patient? And number three, how can I become more patient? So the first question, how do I know if I am patient? Well, four tests can help provide us an answer. The first test of patience is interruptions. Interruptions are common to daily life. You sit down for dinner and the doorbell rings. You have a deadline at work and your boss drops by to tell you about his most recent fishing trip. You're studying at the library for an exam the next day and a friend sees you and wants to talk about a problem they're facing. Our best plans are often interrupted. Jesus' disciples sure didn't like interruptions. They were impatient with people who interrupted Jesus' schedule. They said, "Don't bring your kids to Jesus now. Can't you see he's busy?" How are you doing responding to interruptions? The second test of patience is inconveniences. We North Americans hate to be delayed. We are the now generation with the microwave mentality. We want what we want in seconds. We have minute rice, instant coffee, and fast food. We don't like to wait. We also want our information on the spot. We demand up-to-date news and instant connectivity. My family went to England for my youngest son's wedding summer before last. He married a Brit. And we rented a rural farmhouse. It was a beautiful, idyllic setting in the British countryside. But one of the realities was there was not only no Wi-Fi, there was no internet available, and the cell phone coverage was extremely iffy. You had to walk up the hill, and maybe you might get a half a bar kind of a thing. They thought the world had come to an end. In Luke 10:40, we read about a woman who had trouble being patient in the face of inconvenience. Jesus had come to visit Mary and Martha's house. Martha was really busy preparing a meal, getting everything ready for Jesus and all of his friends. Mary was occupied listening to Jesus, and this was causing Martha a big inconvenience. She says, "Lord, tell her to help me." How patient are you and I when we face inconveniences? Interruptions and inconveniences test our patience. So do irritations, those little and sometimes big things in life that bug us. Traffic jams, long lines at the grocery store, telemarketer calls, misplaced keys, cold food, late planes, occupied bathrooms, dog owners who don't pick up after their pets. I'm sure you've got your own list. How are you responding to irritations? You know, sometimes we think Bible characters were these super spiritual people that you know, weren't really real. Well, they weren't immune from irritations either. Moses was generally a quite patient person, but in Numbers chapter 20, we read that he became irritated with the Israelites on one particular occasion. He had put up with their petty complaints and criticism for years, and his patience had worn very, very thin. God told him to speak to a rock to get water. Instead, he struck it in anger. His impatience led him to disobey God. And that wasn't good. As a result, God didn't allow him to enter the promised, promised land. How patient are you? How patient am I in responding to irritations? Our patience quotient is revealed by how we respond to interruptions, inconveniences, irritations, and also by the fourth test, inactivity. Most of us would rather do anything than wait, whether it be in the doctor's office, at the grocery store, or being confined to bed because we're sick. Did you know that you and I will spend 6 months, I didn't believe this when I read it, but they said, well, we'll spend 6 months of our lives sitting at red lights by the time that, you know, you become a senior citizen. And what happens when the light turns green if you don't move? Within 2 seconds, the person behind you turns red. Honk! We admire patience in the driver behind us, but not in the one in front of us. How do you handle inactivity? Proverbs 10:2 says, impatience will get you into trouble. And it certainly got King Saul into trouble. God's prophet Samuel told Saul to wait until he arrived to offer a sacrifice to God before battle. But Saul's men became impatient when Samuel didn't arrive after 7 days, and Saul gave in to their demands to offer the sacrifice himself. Because of his impatience, God rejected him as king. Medical researchers today agree with Proverbs that impatience will get you into trouble. Some of them have discovered a disease they refer to as hurry sickness. Doctors Meyer Friedman and Ray Rosenman noticed an odd pattern shared by many of their cardiac patients, a pattern that centered on a chronic sense of time urgency. The discovery was aided by premature upholstery wear on the front edges and armrest of chairs in their offices. These parts of the chairs were wearing out much more quickly than the other parts. The doctors reported that many patients showed irritability at being made to wait in line, had difficulty relaxing, interrupted often, hurried those around them, and were forever rushing. They were obsessed with not wasting a moment. Hence the waiting room chair wear. The patients sat on the edge of their seats, nervously fidgeting at the arms of the chairs as they watched the time tick by. The doctors reported that patients with hurry sickness had an insatiable desire to accomplish too much or take part in too many events in the time available. They were unable to acknowledge that they could only do a finite number of tasks. Because of this, they never ceased trying to cram more and more events in their constantly shrinking reserves of time. How do I respond to inactivity? Are you afflicted by hurry sickness? Well, what did the test of interruptions, inconveniences, irritations, and activity reveal about your patience? You might be thinking, well, Kent, what's the big deal about patience? Why should I be patient? Well, the answer is really quite straightforward and simple. We should be patient because God is patient, and you and I are to be like him. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God doesn't dish out instant judgment upon you and me when we rebel against him and his rule in our lives. No, instead, the Bible says he chooses to be patient, giving us opportunity to change our ways. Why? Because he loves us and doesn't want us to be separated from him forever. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God, in his most basic essence, is love. And 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us that love is patient. When we choose to be patient, we look like God and his son, Jesus Christ. We reflect his glory. When spouses choose to be patient toward one another, they look like God. When parents choose to be patient with their children, they look like God. When children choose to be patient with their parents, they look like God. When teachers choose to be patient with students, and when students choose to be patient with their teachers, They look like God. When employers choose to be patient with employees, and when employees choose to be patient with employers, they look like God. By the way, does being patient mean allowing injustice to go unchecked, failing to confront abuse, or not enforcing consequences for wrongdoing? No, it doesn't. God was patient in the days of Noah, and he called the people to repent, but eventually judgment did come in the form of the flood. God patiently withheld judgment for centuries for the Israelites' sins of idolatry and disobedience, but eventually judgment came at the hands of a foreign invading army, and they were taken into exile. God is patient with us today, desiring that you and I turn from our self-rule and rebellion against him. But the Bible also says that one day judgment will come for those who continue to resist his rule. In Romans 2:5 we read, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed." Why should you and I be patient? Because God is patient. And when we are patient, we look like him. We reflect his glory, and the world sees what he is truly like. God's patience and his desire for us to be patient leads us to a third question. How can you and I become more patient? Well, I want to mention three things to you. First, we can become more patient by deepening our love. When I'm impatient, I'm being unloving, and at the root of impatience is selfishness and self-absorption. When you love someone, you care about that person's needs, desires, hurts, and their point of view, not just your own. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." U.S. President Abraham Lincoln personified this link between patience and love. There was a man who was very, very cruel to Lincoln. His name was Edwin Stanton. And Edwin constantly spewed venomous words about Lincoln, about his character, about his actions. He was just nonstop. But you know what? Lincoln chose never to reply in kind. In fact, Lincoln invited Stanton to become his minister of war. Lincoln was always courteous and he was always respectful to Stanton. And it's said that when Lincoln was laying shot by an assassin's bullet on the ground, that Stanton was there and looked down and said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever known." Why the change of heart in Stanton? It was because the patience of love that Lincoln had displayed had won. Love for others, and with it the ability to be patient, grows in our heart the more we experience God's love for us. Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers that they would experience the depth of God's love for them. He prayed this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." You and I, too, can pray for a deeper awareness and experience of God's love. The more we experience God's love and his patience towards us, the more the fruit of patience will grow and ripen inside you. You and I can become more patient by deepening our love, and secondly, by depending on the Lord. The development of patience requires more than human willpower. Only God's Spirit can change us. When we depend upon God, his Spirit produces an inner peace that means situations that used to bother us don't bother us as much or in the same degree anymore. In Psalm 41, the psalmist urges, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Patience is a form of faith that says, "I choose to trust that God is bigger than this problem." Faith enables us to look at life from God's point of view. It allows us to change our question from, why did I have to miss that important job interview because I got a flat on Deerfoot, to, Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to learn from this predicament? As I was preparing the sermon this week, I was thinking about the journey that Elaine, my wife, and I have been on over the last 2+ years. As many of you might, or some of you might know, 2.5 years ago, I stepped down from a ministry position at another church here in town where I had served for 25 years. And I did so because Elaine and I felt like the Lord was calling us to a broader scope of ministry, a new horizon of ministry. We loved our church, and it was not an easy decision, but we very much sensed God was saying this. But like Abraham, God didn't tell us where we were going or what it was going to be. We had some ideas. We also thought it was going to happen really, really quickly. Well, it didn't. Days turned into months, and months turned into well over 2 years. And during that time, I had a very, very difficult time even finding secular employment. Until recently, God opened a new door for me to be involved in vocational ministry right here among you, right here at Southgate. As I look in the rearview mirror of my life and I go, Lord, what were you doing? This week, God was just prompting me as I was putting the sermon together. And he said, Kent, I've been doing something in you that's much more important than where you work or whether you can use your skills in vocational ministry. We can all be ministers, whether we're in a paid position or not. In fact, we all are ministers. But God said, I've been doing something that's more important than any of that. He said, I've been ripening patience within you. And to do that, Kent, I had to allow circumstances in your life that would cause you to have to depend upon me. It's not always fun, but when God puts us into those situations, he changes us, and the fruit of what God does in our life is good. You and I can become more patient by deepening our love, choosing to depend upon God, and thirdly, by staying the course. Do you know fruit takes time to ripen? And some fruit takes longer than others. Patience is one of those fruits of the Spirit that takes a lot of time to be fully formed in us. In fact, I don't think it's ever going to be fully formed until we see Jesus. The hardest kind of waiting happens when you and I are in a hurry and God isn't. When we're waiting for an answer to prayer, waiting for a miracle to happen, waiting for God to change our financial condition or a health problem, waiting for God to change our children or our wife or our husband or that kooky relative. Noah had to wait 120 years before the promised rain came. That's a long time to be patient. Abraham waited 100 years to have a son. That's a long time to be patient. Moses waited 40 years in the desert and then spent another 40 years leading the children of Israel across the desert to the promised land. That's a long time to be patient. Everyone in Old Testament times was waiting for the Messiah to come. In New Testament days, the disciple waited in the upper room for the Holy Spirit. The whole Bible is a book about waiting. Why? Because waiting demonstrates faith. And faith pleases God. When we stay the course, when we keep making daily choices to love and to trust God, we cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he grows and ripens the fruit of patience within us. Let me ask you a question. And I'm asking this of myself this morning as well. What does your fruit of patience look like? Is it thriving, growing and ripening? Or is it sparse, malnourished, and sickly? How are you doing with interruptions, inconveniences, irritations, and inactivity? God calls you and me to be patient because He is patient. And we can become more patient by deepening our love, by depending on Him, and by staying the course. God says through the mouth of Paul to you and me today, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with patience. Let's pray. Just in the silence, I want to say, God, just silently in your heart, God, what are you saying to me today? And listen for what He says. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And Lord, we thank you this morning for the encouragement and the challenge from your word about patience. Lord, you know we can't create patience ourselves. Only your Spirit can do that within us. But Lord, we have a role to play in that process as we remember that you are patient. You are so patient. And you call us to look like you, to be like you. And to do that, we need patience to grow within us, to ripen within us, to be full grown within us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you dwell within us, that you live within us, and that one of your tasks is to produce your fruit, including the fruit of patience in our lives. Lord, this morning, help us to simply believe that you want to do that. And help us to cooperate with you as we make our daily choices. Lord, may our love for you and for others be deepened. And in that, may you increase patience. Father, would you help us to depend upon you more deeply, more authentically. And thank you that as we do that, that you grow patience within us. And Lord, help us to stay the course. When it looks like nothing's happening, when it looks like our prayers are not being answered, when it looks like we're just spinning our wheels, help us to know that even in those seasons of life, as individuals and as a church, that you are working your character within us. The character of patience. Lord, we want to cooperate with you, and we receive this morning a new and fresh impartation of your Spirit. And as we do, we choose to commit our lives to you anew and afresh, Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Church, I'm going to invite you to stand. And we're going to close our service today in a bit of a different way. I'm going to invite you to read aloud together with me in just a moment a declaration of choice. We're at the end today of the sermon series called The Power to Change. And what we've been saying is that we can't change ourselves. Only the Spirit can do that. But each of us has a part. Each of us has a role by the choices that we make each and every day, whether we're going to cooperate and allow the Spirit the freedom to be Himself within us, or if we're going to hold on to control and we're going to try to run our own lives. Well, this morning, this week, somebody emailed me this declaration, and it's a declaration of choosing as a believer in Christ that I'm going to let each of the fruits of the Spirit grow within me. And I'm going to make the choices that I need to work with God and with the Holy Spirit in that. So if it's your desire this morning for the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life, I want to invite you to speak this aloud with me. If that's not your desire, then please feel free just to stand right where you are. You should never say something you don't mean. But if that's your desire this morning, I invite you along with me to speak this declaration before the Lord. Let's read it together aloud. Because of Calvary, I'm free to choose, and so I choose. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. Kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I will accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek His grace. And then, when this day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. And now may the God of all patience fill your heart and your life with patience and all the fruit of the Spirit that is ever ripening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, church.